Good morning. Now, right at the beginning of the epistles, Peter announced the fact that we are chosen by God's foreknowledge. Now, this is the basic premise of 1 Peter. People may have a lot of bad raps about being chosen. We want to choose and not to be chosen. I should be the subject and not the object. We want our autonomy and not dependency. Isn't it all the new bylaws is all about? We spent 2 years just to gain some autonomy. So, there's givens in life that we have no choice. We have to admit the fact that certain things in life we get to choose, and certain things in life we cannot choose. Very often, we are deceived by the world's current philosophy or the fashionable trends. It often gives us a false perception that we can make decisions and choose anything we want and without consequences or bad consequences. After all, it is just an alternative. So nowadays, we hear a lot about alternate truth. Or even when we think about last week, the tragedy in Portland, Oregon. So after that hate crime, the mayor of Portland asked the rally asked one of the rallies to stop, because this rally basically promotes some sort of hate. And do you know what the organization is sponsoring this rally? It's called Alternate Right. Alternate. We always have something, some alternative. Truth is not truth, but there's always alternate truth. Because we think this world is pluralistic, so we can choose as if all choices are legitimate or without dire consequences. But it is not the case. Like it or not, there are things we have no choice, and somebody has chosen it for us. We do not need to be religious to realize this reality. Do we have a choice that we were born in a certain place and time and with a certain set of DNA? That pretty much determines our physique and health. Pastor Samuel just mentioned about we are going to the First Nation Reserve. And we are very much welcome because Chinese came from the same stock as the First Nation people. Anthropologically, we came from the same stock, Mongoloid. So can we choose that we are not Mongoloids? Or can we choose that we should not be Anglo? There's no choice. And all things have its natural consequences. Yes, there are choices we can make, and there are choices we cannot make. First Peter tells a lot of things which we have no choice. But here today, we talk about things we can choose. Beginning chapter 2, we have the house tafel. That what we call the household code. Now, household code is a set of rules and guidelines for Christian daily living. This house rule could kind of evolve in time, but still, this is a set of guidelines that will tell us how are we going to live, how are we going to relate with each other. So, it tells us how to relate in the same household like a master and slave, husband and wife, and etc. It is all about relationship. Then we come to the passage today. The passage starts with finally. Finally signifies the conclusion of the household code. Instead of teaching specific group of people, it is coming down to us all. finally, all of you, finally, all of you. Have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Now, it is a set of five virtues. As a way to conclude, Peter requested us to choose to practice virtues. Like I said earlier, there are things we cannot choose, yet we can choose to be virtuous. There's something nobody can block us from being virtuous. We cannot choose whether we are athletic. Even if you are athletic, you cannot choose to play sport just because you have no opportunity. Many parents of the previous generation would not let the kids become athletes or artists. And I just heard from a friend yesterday that now in small town Canada, if you choose sports, it means ice hockey, nothing else. In small town Canada, you cannot choose anything else but ice hockey. Otherwise, you are the outsider. If you don't play hockey, there's no other sport to play with other kids. Yes, you can choose soccer, but you are kicking the ball to the wall every single day all by yourself. Or you are just dribbling around the pylons instead of living human being. So, but in this case, no one, and absolutely no one, can bar us from being good. That echoes Paul's fruit of the Spirit. Paul said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So, most of us has recited it when we were kids in Sunday school. No. At least let me ask, any one of us has recited this once in their life? Most of us, right? Well, we all know the fruit of the Spirit, but let me refocus this verse. That's the last sentence of the verse. There is no law against such thing. There is no law against such things. It doesn't matter if it's Roman law, Jewish law, or even just a social norm. There's nothing that can against us to be good. How can excuse me? How can we be good and be against the law? Nobody can lock you up in the prison because you are good. Even when they have locked you up in the prison, you can still be good, and they cannot do anything about it. Can I be kind to people no matter where I am? Yes, I can. If I want to be cruel to people, you may be able to lock me up with chains and bars. But if I want to be kind, how can you prevent me from doing it? There's no law, absolutely nothing against such things. So we can always have unity of spirit. We can always have sympathy. We can always love one another. We can always have a tender heart and a humble mind. And nothing can prevent us from it. I cannot emphasize more. There is no law against such things. When Peter continues, he again directed his reader to their very immediate situation. I have mentioned so many times that the readers of Peter had to face times of uncertainties. Persecution is not here today, but may not be
but may be present the next month. I think we can feel for people in England. Just 2 weeks ago, there was a bombing in Manchester City. And just 2 days ago, a van plowed into the crowd and stabbed people in the bar. There are a lot of uncertainties. We are living in a world of fear and uncertainties. For the reader of Peter, this is the situation they are at. They cannot choose not to be in that situation. We cannot choose our time. We can only live in our time. And that's what Peter was trying to say to his people. There are people who are looking for opportunities to hurt them, and they know who those people were. They are the adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. In our time, Christianity or Christians are no longer a very noble word. Or we are not treated as a noble crowd. It's unlike 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Very different. I've mentioned to you last time that being clergy is only the number 21 most trustworthy profession in Canada. Practically, we fell from the sky. Just in the 50s and the 60s, clergymen are the number one. We're the number one. It's only 50 years. We do not have the halo on our head anymore. And more than that, Christians are nowadays are considered to be stubborn, are considered to be non-progressive, are supposed to be the persecutor because we do not accept certain value of this world. But this is where we are now. This is where we are at now. I don't think we need to complain. I don't think we need to really worry about it. Because we have enjoyed the privilege for so long, doesn't mean the privilege will go on. Can we be humble and say, this is who we are and it is what it is now? And Peter is addressing people right at that situation, right at that place. It is what it is. Here is where we are now. Okay, since we cannot change it, how are we going to live it? Yet Peter admonishes reader, do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. It is for this that you were called, that you might inherit a blessing. This is also a choice. Whether we can practice an eye for an eye like the old Jewish teaching, or we can follow Jesus' path, die for those who are sinners. No doubt, Jesus chose to die on the cross for those who nailed him on the cross. When Jesus was captured in the Garden of Gethsemane, his disciples said, hey, can we fight them? What did Jesus say? Can I pray to the Father? And he can send 12 legions of angels to rescue me. There, Jesus had a choice. Jesus chose to die on the cross for those who nailed him on the cross. There's an interesting twist here. The sentence, "It is for this that you were called," of chapter 3, verse 9. It occurs once more in 1 Peter 2:12, "For to this you have been called." The difference is this. Now, "for this you are called." The difference is this. In 2:12, it's endure when you do right and suffer for it. It's the this. For enduring when you do right and suffer for it, you are called for that. And then, in 3:9, "Do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing." And this is also why we are called for. We are called by God to do things in spite of. We are called by God to do things in spite of. In spite of suffering because we have done right. We are called to bless those who has done evil to us. In spite of that, we bless them. And 3:9 has an additional assurance that you might inherit a blessing. Now, this is not a choice of ours. We can choose to bless those who did bad to us, yet we do not have to choose the blessing given to us. Because this is what God had chosen. God has preordained. God has preordained to bless us as he called us. As he chose us. There are natural consequences of everything we do. There are consequences by people, but there are also natural consequences. We just announced, "Would you park your car too close to the driveway?" You got told. But this is consequences done by human. But there are natural consequences we cannot escape. We witnessed two cars parking too close to the driveway. One got towed and the other got away. Because human can only do so much. But there are natural consequences we cannot escape. There are bad consequences. When we do bad, when we practice eye for an eye, repay evil with evil, there's consequence. This world will fill with fear. But we choose to be virtuous. This world can be filled with love. We know that in Canada, or especially in Vancouver, there's a crisis. There's a fentanyl crisis. For those people, for those drug addicts who take opioid, run a very high risk of opium laced with fentanyl. Fentanyl is a very powerful synthetic drug. And a lot of people, when they take street drugs, they got overdosed. Now, I'm not trying to be cold-blooded and staring down to them and say, "See, you take fentanyl, that's why you are dead." No, everybody got a story. All drug addicts had a story to tell. There is a reason why they have to be addicted. There's a reason why. And this is not an excuse. Most of the time, it's not an excuse. It's a reason. why they have to take drugs. But it doesn't matter how sympathetic I am. That's a natural consequence. When you take too much fentanyl, you die. It's no matter how much sympathy I have. Can't escape it. Even the injection center can help so much. Cannot eradicate addiction. You cannot eradicate fentanyl's effect. But on the positive side, there's also natural consequence. Natural consequence is when we choose to follow God's way, God bless us, because God called us to bless us. God has chosen us to call us into position to be virtuous. With His grace, we are chosen to choose good versus evil. In turn, God will bless us as a consequence. First Peter addressed to a group of leaders who were already living in a situation, not a desirable situation at that. They cannot change the situation, so they don't have a choice. Yet they learn to live within and beyond this set of limitations. They cannot change how people will look at them and how people will treat them, yet they can choose what they do to other people. I don't think we can change anybody. It's so difficult just to change ourselves. How can we say we can change anybody? Peter admonished them to do good, to repay abuse with blessing, for they know they have the ability to do that. God has never asked us to do anything that He has not given us the ability to do it. When God created us, He bestowed us with life so that we can live. If God has called us to be virtuous, there is a power in us from the Holy Spirit that will enable us to do it. As long as we trust in God, we can do it. God has chosen us to call us to do better than anybody else. Yes, we can. This is an assurance. And it is a given gift. Let's pray. Father, we thank you because you love us so. Father, we thank you because you are always with us, bringing us to you and giving us the gift that we can stand in this world. We may live in a world that we cannot choose, but we can live in a world we choose to be good. Lord God, we ask you, come and assure us as we continue to serve you, to worship you, to be yours. I thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.